Good evening. May the peace of God be with us all. Amen. This is a good crowd that has come out. It's good to see that you have an interest in seeing how they speak in Texas. They serve the same God we do. They say y'all once in a while. But other than that, the faith is the same. They're brothers and sisters in Christ, and I want to welcome each and every one of you that have come this evening. May we have a wonderful evening together, and may God be glorified, and may we be encouraged in the Word of God. At this time, I would like to call up the song leaders, and we'll start off with a song of to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So let's use our lungs, and let's sing praises to our God.
Take your blue hymnal and turn to number 29, Since Jesus Came Into My Heart. Number 29, and for those that are able, let's stand.
Thank you very much for that hearty singing. I want to start with one verse out of Psalm 122 where it says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. What a better place to be than being in the house of the Lord and worshiping and praising our God. If it wasn't for our God, we would have no reason to gather. We would have no hope in our lives. And when we come into the house of the Lord, it gives a new energy. It gives a new spirit within us. It gives us peace and it gives us joy to be together with brothers and sisters in Christ and to be encouraged and admonished in the Word of God. And it produces a blessing like we read in Psalms 84, verses 4 and 5. It says, blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be still praising thee, Selah. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them. It's beautiful to be in the house of God with brothers and sisters in Christ, and to, even when they're far away, we can go and we can fellowship with one another, and there's a connection because of what Jesus Christ has done for us. And then in Psalms 57, verse 7, it says, my heart is fixed, O God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. Is our heart fixed on the Word of God, on the cross of Jesus Christ, what he did for us? Is it fixed? Is it solid in the Word of God? At this time, I want to introduce our speaker. His name is Isaac Fair. His wife, Agonitha, is here as well. They have four children. They have two boys and two girls. The oldest two are married, and they live in Seminole, Texas. He's a farmer. He farms peanuts and cotton, and he's trying, or his boys, I should say, are trying their hand at beef, and he's helping them out. So at this time, I would like to call him up, and we'll have a word of prayer. Let's bow. Heavenly Father, we come to this evening. We want to thank you for this great day that you have blessed us with. We want to thank you for the country that we live in, the freedom we have to proclaim your word. We can gather in your house of prayer anytime we feel like being undisturbed, and the freedom we have in proclaiming that you are God. This evening we pray that you will guide us and lead us. We pray that you will open up our hearts to your word that you have written for us, and you have said, now you go and you preach it and you teach it. This evening we pray for Isaac as he is about to bring us your word. We ask that you lay the words upon his tongue that you want spoken. Give him strength, give him boldness, give him courage. Take the fear of man from him, so that you can speak through him. You can use him as a vessel, and he will give himself totally to your spirit, and you will lead him. We pray a blessing upon him and his family. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Could we get a cup of water up here, please?
Thank you. All good. Good evening. It is good to see everyone here, even though I don't know very many faces. I know a few. Just here behind my wife, there's some nephews sitting there. So good to see them here. And all of you all, I was heard y'all. So that is how I'm used to speaking. So you'll hear that maybe more often tonight, but that's okay. So I'd like to welcome each one here and greet each one with 2 Corinthians chapter 1, 2 and 3. It says, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. So when I say greet you all and welcome you here, we are guests ourselves today, me and my wife Agonitha. We're guests here today, but in God's house, we're all home. We can gather in God's house and all feel at home and strengthen ourselves with the love that we have for one another and the love that we have for Christ. So that strengthens us today. So question is often, what do we speak on? When we talk about fear, It was a little bit in me the last few days when I face new faces. The fear comes in a little bit, the fear of man often, but then we have to tell ourselves to put that away. So I had to do that, go in prayer and put the fear away. But I want to talk exactly about that, the fear of God, the fear of man. What does it do to our life so many times? You had a song there, it says, Jesus came in to me. So what have we done since we accepted Jesus? Have we also prayed to let go of fear of men? Or have we left it at that? We accepted Christ and didn't grow. Did we grow further from there? So I found it fitting, the song that you guys had picked. So that's how the Holy Spirit works. He leads and talks through the Spirit to each and to the song leaders and to each one that serves and each one that sits in the pews. So I entitled the message today, The Fear of Man Holds Us Back from Growing Spiritually. How often would you say you have found this in your house or in yourself, and the fear of man holds us back from growing spiritually? Thank you, sir. I know oftentimes in life we look back, especially when we are 40s or some a lot older in here, but we look back and say, I wish I would have done this, or I accepted Christ in my young life, but I didn't do much about it. I kind of lifted on that plate because I had fear in me that if I would speak about Christ or I would speak about something that I wanted to do, but I didn't because I would probably lose a friend, or maybe a body, we would say. We lose them because we speak the truth, and we should do that. But oftentimes we don't do that, and later in life, we realize, well, I should have done this maybe 10 years ago or 50 years ago, whatever it is. I should have done it earlier in life so I could teach my children to walk away from the fear of man. And that happens many, many times, and we want to look into that. Today, when we look at Proverbs 29, verse 25, it says, the fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso puts his trust in the Lord shall be safe. So I think we find that often, as Proverbs writes, the fear of man brings a snare. Many times later in life, it brings a snare. It brings up, brought something that causes us a problem down the road. It brings some kind of snare upon us if we fear to speak the truth about the gospel and the truth that we have already accepted Christ. We're afraid to share that with someone, especially when we have friends. We have a circle of friends, and some have not accepted Christ. We hold back. So often we hold that back, that we have decided to live for Christ, so we put that kind of on the back burner, that I have accepted Christ, and we just stay quiet for years because we want to hang on to this life next to us. We want to hold on to these friends. So then it brings trouble later in life. So we want to turn to John chapter 12, and we will see some examples in the scripture today, more than one, what it has caused some of the apostles, what happened in the prophets sometimes when they held back. So in John chapter 12, there we find us one of those stories. John chapter 12, verse 42 and 43. This was... John chapter 12, verse 42 and 43. It says, he had blind their eyes. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on him. So many believed on Jesus. And he says, even the rulers, the Jewish rulers, they believed in Jesus when he came over there. And he taught, right? They believed in Jesus. They said, even among them, nevertheless, among the chiefs, rulers, many believed on him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. So there we see many of the rulers, even when Jesus was still here, they found themselves in that place where we often do today. We find ourselves somewhere when we should be talking about Christ or be open to people about it, but we hold back because of the person next to us or in the circle that we stand, that they may run us down or kick us out of a building somewhere. We are afraid to talk about Jesus, that we have accepted him. So, and then he says, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. Verse 43 says, for they love the praise of man more than the praise of God. There was the problem. The fear of God, the fear of man came in there. And they loved the praise from people more than of God. So they were afraid to tell the people, we love Jesus. They were afraid to talk about that because they wanted to be praised by people more than by God and cause them problems. So oftentimes we find ourselves in that situation in life today where we have accepted Christ maybe in our young age, but yet we are not open enough to proclaim that. When we look at 1 Samuel, let's turn to 1 Samuel chapter 15. We know chapter 15, verse 24 through 26, 1 Samuel 15, 24 through 26. And Saul was the king of Israel, right? He was to be the king of the Israelites. But what happened there? He says in verse 24, it says, and Saul said unto Samuel, I have sinned. And he didn't do what he was supposed to do. God had told him what to do and how to go to the land and destroy the Cain and all they had, animals and everything was supposed to be destroyed. But he didn't follow that command 100%. He was supposed to go to Amalek and destroy the whole city and all the animals and everything. And he thought he did, but he kept back a little bit. He kept the Cain alive. He kept some animals, some sheep. Then he thought he was still following God's order, but he didn't. Do we ever do that today, that we know what to do? The Holy Spirit we have today. I trust that I'm speaking to Christians today in here. I hope each one of you has accepted Christ. But when the Holy Spirit knocks, how often do we hold back a little bit from what we should be doing? Maybe we should share the gospel. Maybe I should go help a friend, or I should speak the word to someone, or go pray for somebody, but I hold back. But here the king Saul did the same thing. He says, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and the words and thy words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. Because he feared the people, he obeyed their voice rather than God. So that got him in trouble. That cost him. Verse 25 says, and now therefore I pray thee, pardon my sin and turn again with me, that I may worship thee, Lord. Verse 26, and Samuel said unto Saul, I will not return with thee, for thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord had rejected thee from being king over Israel. There was the problem. It caused him to be the king any longer over Israel. Oftentimes it costs us something if we don't do what we're supposed to do. If we don't obey the word of God or follow the Holy Spirit, later in life, it will cost us something. We have regrets because we didn't follow. It may cause us to serve here or there, or a blessing we have robbed ourselves from. I would want to say to the young people, especially today, accept this part in your young life. Follow the word of God. Follow when the Holy Spirit knocks. Follow that so you won't regret later in life. When we turn back to John chapter 9, John chapter 9, verse 20, 21, and 22, and 23. This was where Jesus healed the blind man. And what I found it interesting over the time that I've studied this, this man was born blind, and he was not blind because anybody had sinned. But Jesus was there, he healed him, and the Pharisees, they wanted to know who healed him and what happened, how he got healed and why he could see again. But listen to his parents in verse 20 through 23. It says, his parents answered them and said, we know that this is our son. They wanted to know if this was the son that was born blind. And his parents says, we do know that this is the son, and that he was born blind, but by what means he now see it, we know not. Says, or what opened his eyes? We know not. He is of age. Ask him. He shall speak for himself. Verse 22, it says, these words spoke his parents because they feared the Jews. They feared the people again. The parents of this son that had been healed by Jesus himself, they feared to talk to people about it. And why? Because when we read further on, it says, because the Jewish people had already agreed that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. Therefore said his parents, he is of age, ask him. Are we today like that? When we see a miracle by Jesus or even living for him, are we like these parents here and say, go ask that person why he's healed? Or if it's our child that was sick and was healed by Christ, or our father, mother, or anything in life, are we so afraid that we're going to get kicked out of a crowd somewhere and say, that was only by God's grace that I'm here today? It was by God's grace that I'm here today, that my child is here? Or am I too afraid to say that because somebody's going to say, well, who's this God? I don't know. I don't believe him. God is still around. Jesus is still around today. In Isaiah 51, Isaiah 51, verse 12 and 13, it says, I am he that comforts you. Who art thou that thou shouldest be afraid of a man that shall die, and of a son of man which shall be made as grass, and forgets the Lord that has made, has Lord our Maker, that had stretched forth the heavens and laid the foundation of the earth, and has feared, and thou hast feared continuously every day because of the fear of the oppressor. This brought me something to where we often think, like I said earlier, in a young age we start and we fear for 20, 30 years sometimes. We fear to proclaim who Christ is in our life. He says, have you forgotten who made you? Who carries you every day? Who formed the earth? Who put the foundation down for us? Have you forgotten him? You have feared for many days. You have for days you had feared continuously every day because of the fear of the oppressor, as if we were ready to destroy and were as the fear of the oppressor. Sometimes we get pressure that comes against us. No doubt about that. We have people that don't live for Christ, don't want to, or they proclaim they do, but when we get into the serious word of God, then they back off and they come against us, and then we fear. Now I'm going to shut up and not say anything anymore. Nope. We should never do that. It says, have you forgotten who actually made you? I think we often think like Moses did, and when we turn to Exodus chapter 33, when Moses was supposed to lead the flock further on to the promised land from after the flood, after they had parted the sea and walked through and were safe, and he was supposed to walk them farther through towards the promised land. And Exodus 33, verse 13 through 17, first, he says, and now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, says Moses, show me now thy way, that I may now know thee, that I may find grace in the sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. And he said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. Verse 15, he says, and he said unto him, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up henceforth. So Moses didn't want to go without God. He wanted to go with God to be on his side the whole time to lead this flock through. Verse 16, he says, for wherein shall I be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us? Go, shall we be separated? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are up on the face of the earth. Separation from the world. We're supposed to be separated from the people that don't believe in God. We're supposed to shine that light. And Moses was aware of that. He says, with God, when God is with us, people can see. How can they see it in us and me and you today? Does it shine that we are different than the world? Verse 17 says, and the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. God knew Moses. Verse 18, he says, and he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. Verse 19, he says, and he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim thy name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy unto whom I will show mercy. Verse 20, he says, and he said, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me in life. I think oftentimes when God wants to send us somewhere and wants us to do something, we want to see a sign somewhere. We want to see or know that God is there by our side, or else we don't want to walk that extra step and let that light shine. Moses wanted him. He wanted to see God's glory now. God said, I will go with you. But he says in verse 20, he says, and he said, thou canst not see my face. You cannot see my face, but I will be with you. It's a promise. God goes with us no matter where. We don't have to fear man. I want to turn to Galatians chapter 2, verse 11 and 12. Here we see the great person, Peter. Peter often spoke quickly. He was ready to proclaim that he lived for Christ. Remember, he said he wasn't going to deny Christ. And here, after Peter had seen the signs that God had showed him already, how to be with the Gentiles, that there was no difference between people anymore, no Jewish, no Gentiles. We were all God's children. Here comes Paul walking down the street. But when Peter saw in verse 11 he says, but when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face because he was to be blamed. Verse 12, he says, for before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them that were of the circumcision. He feared the people he used to hang out with, and he withdrew quickly when they came walking. He withdrew him from the Gentiles. He was afraid what they were going to do and say about Peter. He withdrew from the people of the Gentiles because of fear of people. He did not proclaim the gospel 100%. It's so often it happens to us as Christians that the fear of man comes in. But then we got to remember God is greater. Jesus overcame the world. We don't have to fear that people will do something to us. Oftentimes we find this in family matters. just like Peter found himself here. Things happen, and we fear to talk about it because what parents may say. We fear what brother or sister is going to think of us. If I tell them how I feel, what I want to do for Christ, I kind of avoid that sometimes. And later in life, we say, well, I wish I would have done this 20 years ago. Would have been so much easier for me. It would have been so much easier for my children. But now I still have time. It's never too late. But yet we lost a lot during that time because of the fear of man. We were too afraid to proclaim Jesus. I want to leave it at that for now. I think we have the youth singing in between, and then I'll come back afterwards and we'll talk about it from there on the fear of God a little bit. So I will, if I may, I'll go in prayer for the youth, and then we'll ask them to come up and sing. Let's bow with me. Our Father in heaven, we come to you this evening, Lord. We thank you for a wonderful day and for a wonderful evening here as we can gather as your people, Lord, believing people in you, Lord. If there's anyone here today yet that has not fully accepted, may they make that choice today, and may we not put the fear of man in us, Lord. May we pray for each other every day. We pray today that you'll take the fear of man from the youth as they will are to partake in praising you through a song and sing praises to you, Lord, and may they just be lifted up, and may we be lifted up to you, and may you be honored and gloried through this evening. May you be honored and glorified through this singing of the youth and playing instruments, Lord. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. May the youth please come.
Okay, and if you guys want to sing with us, you can join us. I think most people got a paper. Old Country Church will be first, and then we'll sing Almost Home.
People sing.
Thank you all for singing, praising the Lord. I always enjoy that, playing guitar and singing with youth. It makes me want to be part of the group that was just standing right here. Always enjoy that. It's one of the things that kind of gets my heart racing when we sing out loud and praise the Lord with singing. As David said many times, praise the Lord with instruments and with your voice, with the word of God. So awesome. So may God richly bless you from here and for doing what you're doing. Back to fear of man. I said, so let's put that to the side. Let's not fear man when it comes to live our lives on this earth, or even when we go through struggles. Put that, the fear of man, to the side. And we have to remind ourselves often of that, I know. But fearing God brings peace. That's what I entitled the second half. Fearing God brings peace. When we read Proverbs 16, verse 6, it says, by mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. And by the fear of the Lord, man depart from evil. By the fear of God, people depart from evil. And when you look at this verse today, how we all have the Holy Spirit that God promised, that Jesus said that he would send down from heaven when he went to heaven after he was crucified and died and paid for all our sins. And he said he would, on top of that, send the Holy Spirit down, and he would live in here. And he does, as a Christian. If we proclaim to be and accept that, he lives in us. Then when he says, don't do this, that means we fear God. That means we stay away from bad things. It means we stay on the narrow path. So the fear of God brings peace to our lives, because we live a better life that way. So God can actually bless us that way. And we find peace in our heart. In Joshua 24, verse 14, it reads like this, says, now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. Put the old things behind you. The things that your fathers did, the gods that they served, Joshua says, leave it behind and serve the Lord. Oftentimes we see a sign when we walk into a home somewhere. Part of this one verse, it says, for me and my house, on verse 50, it says, for me and my house, we serve the Lord. Is that actually true? Do we do that when we have it hanging in our house? Do we serve the Lord, fear the Lord, actually? The verse 14 here says, now therefore fear the Lord and put away. And earlier when I said, oftentimes this plays in a role of families, and it does. What our fathers have done in the past, may it be whatever. Oftentimes we go easy to drink and smoking, but immorality and all that stuff that they do, or not even just live for God and worship other things more than God. We seem to be troubled to tell mom and dad or our friends, say, I'm going to cut this off. And I'm going to live for God now. Joshua here says, do that. Fear the Lord. Don't be afraid to tell the next person. I think oftentimes if we look back on our children when they're small, we somewhat fear to spank them when they go wrong. But yet, when we do that, 30 seconds later, they come back with the hug. And that can often happen if we are the example and the light for Jesus Christ. If we correct someone with his word, that person will later come back and say, thank you for correcting me. I was living a life that was causing me all kinds of problems in life. I lived in fear, but now I can see what you talked about back then. I can see it now. So when the Holy Spirit knocks on the door and says, go help out someone, be open-minded, let's do that. Let's fear the Lord rather than people. In 1 Chronicles 16, verse 25, we read, it says, for great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. He also is to be feared above all gods. God is to be feared above all, everything on this earth. He's to be feared above anything. Sometimes we may have a pickup with big wheels, and we kind of honor that one a little more than we do God. There's nothing wrong with big wheels on a car or pickup, whatever you drive in this area, or four-wheel drive, but if that becomes our God, our number one priority in life, we're honoring that more than we do God. God's to be feared more. The people served many different gods. Their forefathers did. But he's, like Joshua said, turn away from that. Serve the Almighty God that has created heaven and earth, and me and you. Serve him. Turn with me to Psalm 111. 111, verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. His praise endured forever. It says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Is there anybody in here that wouldn't like to gain some wisdom and knowledge? I think we all want to, right? Sometimes we even use it as parents. We say, I would like my children to have a better life than I had in my childhood or my young life. I would like for them to have more wisdom and understanding of how to make a living. But what about spiritually? Do we want that for us and our children? I want to encourage us today. If we think back, how many times have we failed to be open-minded about this? Or we fail as parents, but fearing God and not teaching our children the Word of God, and later we realize we have not done that. And they didn't gain the wisdom and knowledge from God, and they got it from the world. And it took them down a path that caused them many problems, because we as parents were not open-minded. I think Saturday when I was sitting in here, the meeting you guys had, and I heard more than one parent say they would like a better school for their children. I hope so. We all want that. We want a Christian school. We want them to be raised good, to stand against this evil world. But it has to start with the fear of the Lord. We don't fear that anymore, that God is greater than this world, that we accept anything in this world, in life. We become weak as Christians. Fear of God can fix that. That Holy Spirit that does this, don't do it, can help us through that. Proverbs 14, verse 26 and 27. The writer writes, it says, in the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and his children shall have a place of refuge. The fear of the Lord is a strong confidence. We can be confident in God. says, and his children shall have a place of refuge. We shall be safe. We are safe in God's arms. Nobody can destroy us. Nobody can destroy this soul in me. I live for Christ, and it is safe. I accepted that. It is safe. God has put an umbrella over that. A tent. It's protected. Does that mean everything now is smooth and all is nice in life? No, we will face these evil spirits in life. But they are not greater than we are. They're not stronger than we are. It says in verse 26, the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to depart from the snare of death. It's a fountain of life, everlasting life. Sometimes we say, well, I just went with the flow. Well, the flow is not the way to go. Many times it's not. Going with the flow means we're getting weak and careless. But the fear of God means that we trust that God will take us through. Second Corinthians. Where Paul spoke to the Corinthians in chapter 7. And 6 also, but first I want to read 2 Corinthians 7, verse 1. It says, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Again, so when we look back in chapter 6 there, that's where Paul started speaking of salvation. In verse 2 he says, for he said, I have heard thee in this time of acceptance. Accepted, and in the day of salvation have I secured thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. It's today, not tomorrow. Don't push it off. In verse 16 and 17 in chapter 6, it says, and what agreement has the temple of God with idols? Does God make deals with the devil? What does it have in common? Nothing. It says, for ye are the temple of the living God, and God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and there shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, said the Lord, and touch not the unclean things, and I will receive you. I will receive you. Don't touch the unclean things. Don't do all these things that belong to the world, but yet think we are Christians. Don't do all these unclean things. He says, and then I will take you in, and I will receive you. You are mine. Then we are protected. I often say, how can we be perfect? When we read verse 7, it says, having therefore the promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves. So let's clean out the filthiness in the flesh and the spirit. It says, perfecting holiness and the fear of God. I don't know if you have an answer for being perfect. We hear it often times in life, I can't be perfect. No, I cannot be perfect. I'm not perfect, not even close. And I'm pretty sure none of y'all are. But I can tell you one thing, how we can be perfect in front of God. And when we have done something wrong, we repent. And we are sorry for the sin. He takes us right back in, and that makes us perfect in front of God. That is what he's asking, that we turn from that. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 and 11, the chapter first talks about children to be obedient to their parents And we know that's the right thing to do, but it also talks about fathers not provoking their children. In a later part of the chapter, but in verse 10, it says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might and his strength." Be strong in the Lord. It says, in the power of his strength, his might. Be strong in him. Be strong in God. Verse 11, he says, "Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to withstand the wiles of the devils." All these evil things, evil spirits that are living in this world. Put on God all the way, not halfways. Don't proclaim him at the young age and walk 30 years without him. Put the whole thing on so you can withstand all this stuff that comes against you. We know the devil has his angels around. He attacks. As a Christian, even so more, we get attacked by this so often, by someone that does not live a godly life. If we accept the good spirit and we live for him, then Paul writes in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 through 25, he says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law." He says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, and peace. That is, we live for the good spirit. That's in us, that shows in us. When somebody's done us wrong, we forgave them. It shows in us. This light shines. It says in verse 24, "And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the afflictions of and lust." We have buried our lust to live for the world, to live in sin. We have buried that. Those that proclaim to live in Christ, those that have accepted Christ in the Spirit, they have buried this old life. It is gone. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. That's what verse 25 says. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk that way. Let's walk that way. I want to close with two verses in Psalm 145, verse 18 and 19. It says, "The Lord is close unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth." God is always close to those that call upon him. He will fulfill the desires of them that fear him. Oftentimes we go in prayer and say, "God, give me this, give me that. I would like this." But we have no fear for him. So he can't give us. But he says, for those that call upon him, and he says he will fulfill the desire of them that fear him, that live for him. Those he will give the desires that they have on this earth, he will give it to them. He also will hear their cry and will save them. He will hear their cry and will save them. How awesome is that? We have an awesome God. He wants to give us what we desire. So he's a God that gives if we call upon him and fear him. That is who our awesome God is. That is as far as I had prepared for tonight. I hope, like I said, all of y'all have accepted him, decided to live for him. And if you haven't, do so today. But if you have, live it out. Fear the Lord and don't be afraid of a man that may hurt you somewhere down the line. Fear the Lord, rather. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Let's close in a word of prayer. Our gracious God, our Heavenly Father, once more we come to you this evening. Lord, we thank you for being with us this evening. Lord, I ask that you will be with us in the Spirit. And I ask that you would strengthen each one here today as they walk from this building. Strengthen them and give them power to speak out loud wherever it is necessary and to stand the ground for you, Lord. So oftentimes we feel weak as we walk out in the field to serve you and to set a light for you. But Lord, give us the strength, no matter what we face in this life. May we always fear you and live for you and proclaim your gospel. Jesus, we thank you for dying on the cross and taking up on all our sins upon you. Lord, we also thank you for not leaving it there, but that you raised up from the dead, that you raised up and paid for our life and also gave us eternal life. We thank you for the eternal life that you have given us. Lord, you have given us the assurance, as we read in 1 John chapter 5, that if we believe and confess and live for you, that we can be sure that we are safe. Lord, and we thank you for that, for the word that we have today yet, that we can walk this walk and learn through your word each day. Lord, I pray that you be with each one at work for the rest of the week. Be with us as we travel from here, Lord, and pray that you'll be with the ones that speak here at home in this coming weekend. Be with those that feel lonely. Be with those that are sick in the hospitals or in the care homes. Be with those that live in depression. Give them strength to renew. Show them through your Spirit that you are there. Let them feel that you will walk with them every inch on this earth. Lord, we thank you above again for everything you have done thus far. In Jesus' name we pray with thanksgiving. Amen. Is there any announcements or just a song? Okay, then I'll ask the song leaders to come up and lead in song.
Let's take the blue book and turn to 222, My Redeemer. Number 222, and for those that are able, let's stand.
I don't know why y'all stopped. It sounded so good. We could do this all night long. Awesome song, our Redeemer. So I have nothing else but a few announcements from home, from Seminole, and they told me to greet everyone here from the Seminole Church, the congregation there, even though we don't know each other personally, but in Christ we do. So they said to say hi to each and everyone here in this congregation, and delivered a thank you for all the prayers and support that we've had at home from here, for those that serve here or at home at a time when we needed help. So thank you all, and you're greeted from home. And so,
thank you, Brother Isaac. You were saying before we shouldn't go with the flow. That just reminded me of, if we go with the flow, it takes no strength. We just kind of swim along with the flow. But if we want to live for Christ, it takes effort, and we need to turn around and go against the flow of the world. I want to thank you, youth, and the youth leaders for doing their part. Song leaders, and the pianist for helping out, and the ones that will be serving the snack in the kitchen later, also a big thank you. If we all do it together, then it's easy work. And if anybody feels that they would like to help with the expenses for Isaac and Agonitha, you can drop some off in the boxes in the back. It's free will. Whatever you feel you would like to do. I want to thank you all for coming and showing your support. This is the first time Isaac and Agonitha are in Manitoba. They were expecting a lot of snow. And so they're so intrigued by snow, they want to come back in February and try it again. So Lord willing, hopefully they can come back. Do that experience of what a real winter is like. So you're all invited for a snack in the dining hall. I'll close with a short prayer and table grace and then the benediction. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, again we come before your throne of grace, and we want to thank you for this opportunity that we've had tonight to listen to your word and to be encouraged and admonished, but above all encouraged in your word, knowing that you love us so much that you sent us your son so that we can have life eternal through him. And we pray traveling mercies for Isaac and Agonitha as they're planning on leaving tomorrow, going back home. May you guide their hand, guide their vehicle, protect them, and bring them home safe to their church family and to their family. And as we are about to partake of the food that has been prepared for us, we pray a special blessing upon that as well. Bless the fellowship around the tables, and bless each one that has come out this evening. And we pray that you will bless the food to our bodies and us, give us strength to further serve you. And now may the Lord bless thee and keep thee. May the Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace from now and forevermore. Amen. And I'd like to call the ushers forward to usher us out, please.